Great. We're going to do our third session, and we are going to slow down a little bit. Do 1 week women, 1 week men, rather than trying to do 2 a week. But just because y'all have such good questions, and it will just be better for us to be able to cover more material. So, when we finish together, we are going to break up in 2 groups. Eleanor is going to take the ladies, and I'm going to take the men. We'll have some question, answer, discussion, creative application making. So, before we do that, do you have questions on how to do the daily quiet times? Do you have questions? Because we'll be talking about those when we break up into the small groups.
I have questions on how to implement them.
Okay. All right. Great.
We didn't touch them this week. We didn't do them. We just completely forgot they were there.
Okay. All right.
So, I don't know who else in here wants to tell the truth, and they didn't do theirs either.
Now, the way you do it is that you pick a time together.
Oh.
How do you make an appointment?
Communicate.
Yeah. And show up.
And show up 2 weeks in advance.
That's how you do it. You have a break. That's how you do appointments. You just do it. You just one of the things that I did was have a working lunch with Eleanor on Thursdays. Working lunch with Eleanor on Thursday. That way we could talk about all the functional things in life so that we can have a romantic date on Saturday. Friday night was family night, Saturday night was date night. So the way I did that is I told my secretary to block off Thursdays that I had a standing lunch appointment on Thursdays. And most people understand that. For instance, I had a standing pastoral meeting with the senior pastor and all the staff on Monday. That was Monday lunch. So you can. So what you have to do is that you have to just set that. And then somebody says, "Yeah, but can't you break it?" And you just say, "No, no, can't." So that's how you do it. So you either have breakfast together or you have dinner together. Now, how do you have dinner together? Come home.
Sit at the same table.
Yeah, you come home. You come home and do it. That's how you do it. Now, if you're out of town, you're out of town. So, how do you have a quiet time together if you're out of town? Your CEO wants to meet with all top sales personnel, but he doesn't want to fly them all to Minnesota. How does he meet with them?
FaceTime
or Skype or a webinar or conferencing. You all have cell phones. If you're out of town, I have a Bible study with a pastor in St. Petersburg, Russia, and a pastor in Tumen, Siberia. How do I do that?
Skype.
Yeah, Skype or FaceTime. Very easy. Or a webinar. Very easy. So you can do it. You can do it. So you just do it. So the thing you have to understand, though, if you've got some young guys in your department and they want to be successful, and you say, well, you can do that. One of the things you can do this. They say, well, I can't really do that. Okay. Well, then this is another way you could approach it. No, that's not realistic. Okay, I'll tell you what. What about coming in? Let's go in through the back door. What? No, no. Okay. Well, let's think creatively. I just can't think of anything. Well, they just don't want to do it, do they?
They're not committed to doing it.
Yeah, well, yeah. They just don't want to do it because you do the things you want to do. You do the things you want to do. And you do the things you need to do, and you do the things that are important to you. So that's why we said at the beginning, you want your spouse to be happy. And that's different from thinking your spouse should be happy married to you and hoping your spouse is happy. Those are different, aren't they? You say, if you want your spouse to be happy, then you have to do the things that will make your spouse happy. Another way to look at you, I'm not doing those things, but you should like the things I am doing. But we already talked about that. The person receiving the stimulation gets to define it. So we all know that one of the things on the sitcom is the guy who loves to give bear hugs, and he's always giving bear hugs to the guy who doesn't like to even hardly shake hands, right? And the guy who's giving the bear hugs, his attitude is, you should like that. That's why that's his attitude. You just should like it. That's your problem, not my problem. But that's not true. That's not true.
Can you say that again? The person receiving the stimulation
gets to define it.
Gets to define it.
Or do they like it?
Whatever. Yeah, they get to define it. So,
give the example of picking me on the arm.
Yeah, yeah. Like we did that at the beginning. I come over to Rob and I say, Rob, it's good to see you. And I slap him on the back. He says, ow! Because you've been out the pool, watching the kids at the swim meet. And I said, what's wrong? He says, that hurts. It's a brotherly pat. Ow! Well, who gets to decide if it hurts or not? He does. I'll be sitting in a marriage counseling situation, and the wife will say something, and I'll turn to the man, and I'll say, didn't that hurt you when she said that? They'll say, yeah. And she'll say, well, no, that didn't hurt. I was just being honest. Or the guy will say, that didn't hurt. I was just kidding. Well, it does hurt, doesn't it? We don't get to decide that. And what we don't get to say is, well, it shouldn't hurt. You just need counseling. Don't get to say that either, though. I don't get to say to Rob, well, you should just tough it up. You should appreciate the fact that I'm patting you on the back. Just get past the being sunburned. But no, you don't do that. So, you don't get to, is in, we'll use an illustration in our relationship with God. Let's look at John 14, 15. John 14. John 14, 15.
All right.
Joanna, go ahead.
If you love me, keep my commands.
Okay, so who gets to define what it means to love Jesus? Who gets to define that?
We do. The receiver.
Yeah, but who gets, so if we're loving Jesus, who gets to define what it means to love Jesus?
Jesus.
Who's the receiver?
Jesus is defined.
So the receiver gets to define it. We don't get to define it. So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So he gives us a command, and we say, I love Jesus, but I just can't do that. But that doesn't mean I don't love Jesus. Well, what does John 14, 24 say?
Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings.
Yeah, so Jesus draws the line, doesn't he? You say, well, no, you can't say, I don't love Jesus just because I'm not willing to do such and such. I still love him. But we don't get to define what it means to love Jesus, do we? He gets to love. That's the ridiculous statement that men say to their wives when they have an affair. It didn't mean anything. You don't get to tell her it doesn't mean anything. You don't get to say that. Because it does mean a lot. It's one of the most awful things a man can do to a woman. So you don't just get to shrug your whole say that, you know, you should get past this, it didn't mean anything. Because you don't get to define how that impacted her. You don't get to do that. And a wife doesn't get to look at her husband, and as we look at these covenants, say, I do love you, I just can't do this. But you should appreciate the other things I do. No, you don't get to say that. Because you don't get to decide what's important to your spouse. We don't get to do that. They get to decide that. It's kind of like you say to your spouse, what would you like to do on our date? Well, this is what I'd like to do. Well, no, I don't want to do that. But I don't. But so tell me, well, this is what I want to do. Well, no, I can't do that. Well, then this is what I want to do. No, 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 no. Well, then let's do this. No, 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 I don't want to do this. Well, fine. Well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to do this. And so you do that. Is she doing what he wants to do on the day?
Yes.
No.
No, she's doing what she wanted to do on the date. And he should like that. Because she likes it. But that's not true, is it? That's not true. Let's say you like asparagus. Let's say you like asparagus. And so you ask your husband, what do you want for dinner? Well, you know, I would really like Boston baked beans. Well, no, they give me indigestion. Okay, well, we won't have Boston baked beans. You know what I really like is baked potato. No, too much calories. But tell me, what do you want for dinner? Okay.
Well, leftovers.
Well, I really like spinach. No, no, I don't like spinach. But tell me, what do you want to do? Well, you know, what I would really like is a Caesar salad. No, no, too many calories. What do you want for dinner? Well, I don't know. What do you want? Well, I want asparagus. Okay, we'll have asparagus. Oh, good. I'll fix you asparagus. Well, is he getting what he wanted for dinner?
No.
No, and it's... And it's the problem is not with him. Tell me a vegetable that you do not like. Is there a vegetable you don't like?
Leftovers.
Okay, leftovers. Okay?
Eat him.
Why don't you like leftovers?
I don't like leftovers unless it's
pizza. Yeah, but...
Oh, you're asking me why?
Yeah, why?
Because I like to eat something that's freshly made.
No, that's what you do like. What... If you can make me not, if you can explain not liking leftovers so that I can understand, because I love leftovers, so that I can understand and empathize with it.
The reason it's leftovers, nobody wanted it, I don't want it either.
No, that's still not. You see, you can't do that, can you? You just don't like it. What's the color
of
you
like? So what you're telling us is if you eat it all, then you don't like it.
So what's the color?
Red.
You like red? I don't like red. I don't like red. Why do you like red?
Because it's maybe happy.
No, that's what red does to you. What is liking red? Explain that to me.
You go for a couch.
I like red.
Yeah, but if you can explain to me liking red so that I understand liking red, then you can have something red. But if I don't understand it, then you can never have it. Will you ever have red? No. Because if you like something and somebody else doesn't like it, it's you can never verbally, intellectually explain like because you just do it. So if you set up in your relationship rules that you will fulfill one of these covenants, when you understand it, it'll never be fulfilled. Because it just is. It just is. And so the person who likes something gets to like it, whether you understand it or not.
Whether you like it or not.
That's exactly right. And the person who doesn't like something...
We don't make that a saying.
What's that?
We don't make that a saying. Whether you like it or not.
And the person...
Whether you like it or not.
You're going to start using that.
That's very important with the next covenant that we are going to look at, which is to make your marriage sexually exciting. So one of these...
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not.
One of these goes to each of the ladies.
Oh, this is the ladies right here?
This is for the ladies. Making your marriage sexually exciting. And then... We are also going to look at a Bible study project for the ladies. So each of the ladies should get one of those. There should be some more of these.
Yeah,
there's
only one.
Oh, they're front back. There should be. Aren't there two of those in there? No?
No.
Okay, here's some more.
Here's
one.
Okay.
So,
don't, men, you don't get that. That's for the ladies. Sorry, guys. Okay. Now, each lady should have two things.
Yeah.
a daily quiet time, and a project. Does everybody have one?
Yes.
Great. Okay.
I love projects.
Oh, good.
Either you like it or not.
So we ran out of daily quiet time.
I don't like projects.
I haven't given any of the men.
No, for Pam.
Yeah.
A new one?
Yeah, no, I've got some more.
We got plenty.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Now, do all of the ladies have a daily quiet time, making your marriage sexually exciting, and a project sheet?
Yes.
Great. All right, great. Now we can move on.
Wait a minute. I thought you knew we had project has to do with sex?
Yes.
I like projects.
Yeah, he likes projects too.
Your turn.
Yeah.
Oh, Philip, I don't like projects. I didn't know what it was about. Yeah. I don't like
it. Now, remember what we said at the beginning of the seminar. Legitimate needs do not indicate imperfection or fault. Remember we talked about that? That there are legitimate needs. Was Jesus perfect?
Yeah,
Jesus was perfect. Did he sleep?
Yes.
Was that because he was imperfect? That's a legitimate need, isn't it? Was Jesus perfect?
Yes.
Did he eat?
Yes.
That was a need he had. So needs do not reflect imperfection when they are created by God. When Adam was perfect before he sinned, he slept, he ate. What else did he do? He worked. And he had sex with his wife. Those were all needs Adam had while he was perfect, before he sinned. And they were blessed of God. So, a need does not indicate imperfection. So the question is, your husband is like an animal. When's he going to get enough? What's the answer?
Never.
Because it's not a problem. We're going to see that he is created that way by God. One of the covenant needs a man's wife has is to talk. She talks and she talks and she talks. When is she going to get enough? Never, because it's not a problem. In fact, covenant needs, as you grow spiritually, they increase. Pam, did you eat yesterday?
Yes.
How about the day before?
Yes.
And the day before that? You are a very needy person, aren't you? You really... No. That's a covenant need. Needy has the connotation of a problem, doesn't it? And the needs that are covenant needs are blessings from God. So that when you marry someone, you agree to be the piece of puzzle that meets that covenant need. And a sexually exciting marriage is one of the covenant needs. We're going to look at the Word of God from that. So the question begins, if you don't meet this covenant need of your husband, who do you want to do it?
Nobody else.
Okay. So if you don't do it, and nobody else can do it, then you've trapped your husband in the prison of the Christian marriage, haven't you? Because he can't have an affair because he's a Christian, can he? And he can't have a polygamous marriage and marry a second wife who does like sex. He can't do that, can he? So he's trapped, isn't he? You've got him by the throat. See, the joke's on him, isn't it? That's called defrauding. You created in the relationship an expectation which you are now unwilling to fulfill. So you tricked him, didn't you? Is that what you want in the marriage? Do you want your husband to be happily married?
Yes.
That's different from saying, my husband should appreciate all that I do and he should be happy. I don't like turnips or rutabaga. If Eleanor spends all day fixing me a turnip rutabaga casserole, is it my problem that I don't like it? No, it's not, isn't it? Because I just don't like it. And it's not what I should or should not appreciate that she did all day. If she knows I don't like rutabaga and she spends all day fixing me rutabaga, it's not my problem that I don't like rutabaga. And I don't have to pretend I don't like rutabaga if she wants me to be happy. Now, if the goal is for me to make her feel good by pretending she makes me happy, that's something else, isn't it? But that's not the goal, is it, ladies? The goal is not to train our husbands to be indifferent towards their covenant needs. The goal is to meet those covenant needs. Those are two different things, aren't they? See, it is a cruel expectation for you to desire your husband to love you as a sister because he's not a lesbian, is he? Isn't that right? And he's not a homosexual. So he's not going to love you like a sister. You're not going to have this affirming, get-along relationship. It's going to be sexual. Because it's created that way by God. And that's God, and that is good. That is good. So let's look at something, some verses, shall we? Ecclesiastes, gentlemen, we'll start. Tell me your name again.
Mike.
Okay, Mike. Ecclesiastes 1:8. Robert, Captain Bob, Proverbs 27:20. Kevin, 1 Corinthians 7:4. Okay? Who hasn't read? Pam, have you read?
No.
Song of Solomon 4:1-3. And who else hasn't read? Okay. Song of Solomon 4:5, 6, and 7. Now let's look at some verses here. Alright? Ecclesiastes 1:8. Who had that? Mike.
Okay. If all things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing.
Okay, now, what is, isn't it? It's not what it should be, it's not what you want it to be, it just is. Will your wife ever get enough of you talking?
No.
No. We talked all night last night. We talked all of it at breakfast this morning. I told her I loved her. 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 When is it going to be enough? And what's the answer to that?
Never.
Never. And we're going to look at that next week, men, that you're a hypocrite. If you expect God to continually tell you he loves you and you're not willing to do the same thing for his wife. But ladies, will your husband ever get tired of looking at your body? What does Ecclesiastes 1 say? Will the man's eyes ever be satisfied? What's it say?
The eye is not satisfied with seeing.
No, it's never going to happen. It is never going to happen. And ladies, if you expect your husband to understand your need to come in while he's watching a football game and you've been shopping and for him to turn off the TV and sit there and show you the stuff you got from Charming Charlie's that he can for the life of him not tell any difference between that and the last time you went to Charming Charlie's. And let you show him that. And pay attention to you and be a good husband and listen to you. But at the same time, you are not willing to wear sexually exciting garments for him or to allow him to look at the sensuality of your body, you saw it on my honeymoon, you saw it last week, what's the problem with you when you're going to see it enough? What's the answer? Never. That's the same as the man who says, I told you I loved you when I married you. If I stop, I'll tell you. Like the woman who says, you know, we had exciting sex on our anniversary, maybe New Year's Eve, on our honeymoon. It's just too much trouble to get dressed up and have exciting sex every week. You're a hypocrite then, aren't you, if you say that? Unless, of course, you say, sweetheart, I don't want to have sex this week, so just don't talk to me. But that's not what we say, do we? We still want our husbands to fulfill his covenant needs. We just don't want to fulfill ours. But it doesn't work that way. For a marriage to work, both spouses must be committed to their covenant needs. You will never understand your husband's sexual need to look at you. Why is that? Why will you never understand that?
Because I'm
a lesbian. Yeah, because you're not a lesbian. Lesbians like to look at women, don't they?
Glad you didn't understand that one.
See? I don't want you to understand it. I just want you to accept it. Will you ever understand the Trinity? Three yet one? No. But that doesn't matter. You don't have to understand it. You just have to accept it. You don't have to understand it. There are many things we don't have to understand. You ladies use cell phones all the time. You don't have clue one how that works. But that doesn't stop you, does it? And you can do the same in making your marriage sexually exciting. I don't see what the big deal is about wearing different color bras every week, every other day. I don't see that. Good. Don't have to. Just do it. Yeah, that's right. Proverbs 27, 20.
That's where 90 got that slogan from.
Death and destruction are never satisfied, neither are the eyes of man.
Okay, so will your husband's eyes ever be satisfied? Therefore, you are a ministry to him. Because he needs to look, right? And if he can't look at you, who can he look at? Nothing. So, ladies, if you don't flash your husband, if you don't dress erotically for your husband in the bedroom, if you don't dress up sexy for dates for your husband, you put him under great sexual temptation. So, what must your husband learn not to do if you are not going to do it? What must he learn not to do?
Have sexual being.
That's right. Is that healthy? No.
Did you say have sexual
feelings?
Yeah. That's not healthy. In fact, that's unhealthy. Now, if your husband won't talk to you, you can talk to your sister in Christ, can't you? It's not as good, but there is some outlet. But if you won't use your body to satisfy your husband's gaze, he has no moral outlet at all. That's a cruel expectation to enter into a marriage and expect that. Not that I would.
Show up.
So, 1 Corinthians 7:4.
The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife.
You don't have authority over your ears and your mouth, man. She does. You got to talk, you got to listen. Ladies, you do not have authority over what you wear and your breasts and the other aspects of your body that your husband finds exciting. He does. And we live...
Well, we can't wear it all day long. I'm joking.
We live in a society of a cult of self-ownership, don't we? It's my body. I get to do what I want with my body. Well, you can if you remain single. So you should have. You should just remain single. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Just don't get married. Then you can. But once you marry, all that changes, isn't it? Doesn't it? Okay. Song of Solomon 4, 1 through 7.
How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from the hills of Gilead.
Oh, I love you.
Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn, coming up from the washing. Each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. Your lips are like scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with courses of stone on it. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors.
What verse is that?
That's 4.
Okay. Now, you pick up with 5, 6, and 7. Somebody, you had 5, 6, and 7. Okay, great.
New King James.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. So 4, 5, 6, and 7?
Just 5. Yeah, 5. Yeah, 5, 6, 7.
Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Lift from the top of Amana, from the top of Sinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the lepers.
Okay, Song of Solomon 4, 1 through 7. What translation was that?
New King James Version.
New King James, okay. Now, this is a wedding song where the husband and wife sing back and forth to each other. Now, what do we know about this man and his relationship with this bride?
Sounds like he's in love.
He's in love, but what else do we know?
From those verses.
Yeah, from these verses. Ladies, what do we know?
That's with her body.
Obsessed. Yeah, no, that's all right. He's obsessed with her body. What else do we know?
He's looking at her.
He's very graphic.
Yeah? How can he know these things?
He likes the way he looks.
How can he know? Now, you guys, I'm making you guys think completely out. She's naked.
Yeah.
Right? So, this woman is free with her body, with her husband. For him to see these things and describe them, she can't have clothes on, can she?
No.
Or if she does, they're very sheer. Is this the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay, right? Mm-hmm. I always say to ladies, who are you saving yourself? What? Say, well, I just don't know what the other sisters in the church would think of me. No, that's how lesbians think. What other women think about how they look. I wear my hair straight back because I have 3 collars. It's either straight back or straight up. That's my choice. Like buckwheat. And this guy at church kept saying, you know, why do you have who's that actor who did 5 Easy Pieces? Jack Nicholson. Why do you have some Jack Nicholson complex or something like that? And I just looked at him and said, you know, it makes me really uncomfortable to think you sit across the auditorium in church thinking about how my hair looks. So he never commented on it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it does. What does he care how I look? And what do you care about what the other ladies think if your husband is happy? Because you're not going to be one of the ladies who sits around the prayer meeting whining because their husbands are unhappy. So that's the direction it goes. So let's look at what the Bible says about sexual intimacy. Shall we, ladies? Let's turn to Proverbs 5. Okay, I'm going to give you some verses. Proverbs 5. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. How's that? Proverbs 5, 15, 16.
Okay, so which version is best? The King James Version or our NLT? Okay.
15, 16, 17, 18, Proverbs 5.
15.
Okay. Okay, beat up on the guys last week, then, my ladies.
What do you have over there, Carol?
Proverbs 5. Okay, so, all right, let's go. Proverbs 5:15.
Bring water for your own well. Share your love only with your wife.
Okay, right. So, the word picture is a well. This refreshing fountain is the actual, the Hebrew. It's a fountain that's bubbling up.
Would you read that again for me, please?
Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife.
It's not different. Go ahead and read.
It's not different, but I would never get that from this.
Go ahead.
Mine says drink water, and this is the NIV. Drink water from your own cistern.
Okay.
Running water from your own well.
That's exactly right.
But hers is talking about
the wife.
Hers did is it fills in the analogy. What translation is that? But you see, the Living Bible is a paraphrase. It's like a commentary. So the author sticks in his interpretation to the verse. So it makes a nice reading Bible, but you wouldn't want to use it for a study Bible.
So which should we use?
NIV?
I like the English Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, or the New King James Version for Bible study.
Well, that's easy to change.
But Ken Taylor is a very strong evangelical Christian. He's a professor at Wheaton Bible College, and he fills in the correct blanks.
What should we say? This was a drink water from your own sister. Running water from your own
See, that's the literal meaning. Okay. But the allusion here in the context of this passage is that this well, this refreshing well, this bubbling water in the desert is your wife. That men live in this desert where they're knocked around and they're beaten up, and then they come home, and they come home to what should be an oasis in a very parched and barren land. And that's who you are. So you are going to minister to your husband. It's going to be a ministry. Remember when Jesus thirsted, he was, and somebody gave him some water, and he says, no one who gives a cup of water to one of these disciples will lose his reward. And all through the Bible, Moses and Jacob, you have all these stories of men or women who gave water to people to minister to them. So now you are this water, this refreshing water, who is going to minister to your husband. Excellent. Verse 16.
Should your springs be dispersed outside your streams of water in the wide plazas?
Yeah. So, now that's the next question. You're this great oasis. You're the sister. Are you going to knock holes on it and let anybody drink who wants to? No. So you are going to be a special blessing, a special oasis, just for one person. Your husband. Okay?
Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers.
Okay? So, yes. So, this is a very unique blessing. Just for your husband, okay?
May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth.
So when you minister to him, it's going to make your husband excited, isn't it? Okay?
As a loving hind and a graceful dove, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love.
Now, we're going to learn something here. What specific blessing of refreshment is it talking about here? Altruistic? Sexual, isn't it? Now, what is God commanding the husband to do?
Only go.
I'm going to ask the ladies. Look at the verse. What verse is it?
19.
Look at verse 19. God commands the husband to do something. What is it?
To be satisfied.
With what?
With her.
No?
No.
What does it say? To be satisfied with talking to her?
No. With her love. With her breasts.
Bah!
Say that again.
That's exactly right. is this the Bible?
I have to say that.
Give it up, girl. You got it.
Is this the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah. Why does your husband, why is your husband fixated with your breast? Is it evolution? Is it evolution? No. Is it because his mother didn't nurse him enough? That's what sociologists will say. No. Why is it? It is from God, isn't it? It is from God. So, if you deny him that, you deny him your ministry to him from God. Isn't this the Bible? It's like him coming home from work and you deny him a water. I'm really thirsty. Well, too bad. Well, can't I just have a small cup of water? No. The water's mine. I'm not giving you any water. When can I have water? Never. Just be thirsty all your life. Well, that's really hard for me to do. Well, it shouldn't be. Well, does that have anything to do with it? No. This is a ministry for your husband. When will your husband get over his fixation with your breasts?
Never.
Is that a problem?
No.
It's a need. It is a need, but it is not a problem need. It is a covenant need, which is different, isn't it? So, now you know that. What is your response going to be to that? Are you going to fight over it or minister to him?
Minister to him.
Yeah, otherwise, why did you get married? Huh? Now, pornography having to do with women's breasts is a multi-billion dollar business, isn't it? What is the reciprocal multi-billion dollar business for women?
Romance.
Books. And talking. Talking. Books is a form of talking, interacting. Verbal. Written. So men just have to accept that. I tell men they should be sending their wives texts of love regularly, telling them they love them regularly. So I just don't understand that. I say, good, it means you're not homosexual. And I tell women, you should be excited about dressing in a provocative and exciting manner for your husband. They say, well, I just don't understand it. And I say, good, it means you're not a lesbian. But it doesn't mean it isn't a valid need of his. And unfortunately, you ladies grow up buying books at the Christian bookstore that are written by women, for women, or by men for women. And you are told that talking and sharing and listening, these are real high and lofty things, aren't they? On the other hand, dressing up in fishnet hose and a garter belt and a plunge bra and a see-through negligee and dancing for your husband and then having wild sex, that's kind of base, isn't it? But it's not. In God's value system, they are equal. So why do you have books about talking and emoting and going deep emotionally at Christian bookstores, but not a negligee department? Do they just sell books at Christian bookstores? Is that all they sell at Christian bookstores, books?
No.
No. They sell other things, don't they? They sell pictures with words on them, don't they? And they sell vases with words on them, don't they? And they sell picture frames with words on them, don't they? And they sell little pudgy angels with words on them, don't they? They sell all sorts of things, don't they? They sell crosses with words on them, don't they? So it's not that it's a bookstore. Because they sell all sorts of things. Why don't they sell negligees? Why does my wife have to go to a secular store, even an unwholesome environment, to get that. Why? Because it's run by women for women. And they're not lesbians, so they don't understand it, and they're not willing to accept the equality of covenant needs. And so you have to understand the degree to which you have been brainwashed into thinking that Christianity, the deep things are feminine and the shallow things are masculine, because it's not true. It's just not true. So that is an important need that your husband has. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. So you read 1 Corinthians 7, 3, 4, 5. Okay? Please.
Hold on, we got 5.
Corinthians
1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. 3 through 5. Okay? 1 Corinthians 7, 3.
The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband.
Okay. 4.
The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife.
Verse 5.
Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
Do you love Jesus, ladies?
Yes.
Are you willing to obey him?
Yes.
If you're not, you don't love him. Remember, we already dealt with that, didn't we? So, is your body your own or Jesus's? So, if your husband says, you know, sweetheart, I don't really like it when you don't wear a hose, so when we go out tonight, don't wear a hose. So, what would you say? You say, well, all the ladies are going to have hose on. Well, who are you trying to please? If you say that, who do you want to please?
Everybody.
The ladies. Are you a lesbian?
No.
What do you care? Okay. Or what if he says to you, well, sweetheart, I really think you look hot in hose. When we go out to dinner tonight, would you wear hose? What will you say?
Sure.
Yeah. You will do it. Why? Do you do it because it feels good? No. Do you do it because everybody else is doing it? No. Do you do it because it makes you feel good? Why are you going to do it? That's right. Now, I will tell the men. Is wearing a swimming suit immoral? Do you wear a swimming suit to church?
No.
No. So, men, we have to do appropriate things. If you want, if you like your wife to wear kind of a black sexy hose with a pattern or a line up the back or a fishnet pattern or something like that, don't take her to Panera. Take it to a club. Go dancing. You know where that is, the north.
There's nothing more return of the loaf of bread than that.
Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Take it to a club, right place.
So ladies, we all understand there's church dress, there is sharp dress, and there is date night clubbing dress.
And if you're, I wish you were going to roundabout that way, because I know it could be taken different.
So, you know, and if you find club environments unhealthy, you don't like that, then your bedroom becomes Club Mikey.
That's true.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Strobe lights, black lights, or a red light, that's exactly right.
We're learning a lot.
And why are you laughing at this? The reason you're laughing is you're not lesbian. So it doesn't mean anything to you. Your husbands are thinking in the back of their head, really, do women really exist who really do treat their husbands like this? Unfortunately, they do, but most of them are not Christians. Because Jesus told the disciples, The sons of the world are more wise in their relationship with each other than the sons of the kingdom. And many non-Christian women take better care of their husband's sexual needs than Christian women do. But that shouldn't be. Your husband should be the envy.
So why is that that they non-Christian women?
Why do they do that? Well, because they haven't been what I call subtly brainwashed by the Bible Study Fellowship women's groups, where all women just spend time together, studying together and fellowshipping together and learning to relate to other women. So that's not what you want to do. You want to learn, how do you find out what your husband likes about your hair? How do you find out about that?
Asking him.
Okay. And then once you know it, you say, you get mad at him because he likes something that you don't want him to like. See, I know women who will fix their husband a very expensive seafood dinner, and their husband doesn't like seafood, and they'll be mad at him because he doesn't like seafood. They spend all that time making seafood. Well, I mean, if he hasn't told them that, that's one thing. But they know he doesn't like seafood, but they like seafood, and they want him to like seafood. But it's never going to happen, is it? Well, I just can't wear my hair long. I just can't take care of him. Well, now you know. You don't love Jesus and you don't love your husband. Well, we can check that off, don't we? Does your husband like bright red lipstick? How do you find out? But now you know, don't you? So now what are you going to do when you go out on a date? Right. Yeah, if you love him, you love Jesus. If you don't love him, you don't love Jesus, then you'll just blow it off, won't you? The only way you can know your husband's deepest sexual desires is to become a lesbian or to ask him. Which is the better route? Yeah. So what do you do?
Is that open for debate? Or is this I walk in late, so I don't know what you're doing.
There's no debate on this.
Just check.
So, what do you get? Get a magazine. You can get a catalog, can't you? Do you like this or this? Do you like this or this? You can go through the mall. Do you like this or this? Now, what these clothings are, ladies, are the picture frame. He married the picture. These ladies are, oh, I can make my husband just love me like I am. He just won't love me like, he just so selfish. I just feel, oh, he just wants me to look like these models. No, he just wants you to put a picture frame on that picture. That's all he wants. If he wanted to marry somebody else, what would he have done? So let's get past, oh, my husband doesn't like my body. Let's get past that. Now let's just put some nice picture frames on it. Do you guys ever rearrange your furniture in your home? Oh, my wife is always rearranging the furniture in my home. She just doesn't think I'm a good provider. She's all judgmental. Is that true? No, you're just rearranging it, right? So your husband likes different underwear. He likes different negligees. He likes different picture frames. He likes to rearrange the furniture a little bit. He loves you. Is it in the Bible? Yeah. So we can get past it. Well, all right. We're out of time here, but anyways, we're going to do something anyways, even though we're out of time. We're going to look at some women in the Bible, okay? And then we're going to break up into groups. Okay? You are going to take Eve. Is Eve, before she sinned, she was good, right? She was perfect. She's one of the good gals. It's not like Jezebel, right? So you take Eve, Genesis 2:25. Okay? You can take Rebecca. We like Rebecca, don't we? We named my daughter Rebecca. She's one of the good girls in the Bible, right? She's not like Delilah, right? All right. So we'll do Rebecca. Genesis 24:67. And you'll take Rebecca, Genesis 26:8. And you will get Esther chapter 2. And Eleanor will get Esther chapter 2. Genesis. You have Rebecca.
Yes.
Genesis 24, verse 67. Now, you have Genesis 2, 25.
2? Genesis 2?
Chapter 2. And it's all right that you're late because we're dealing with the ladies today.
So. But I'll catch you up on it afterwards.
What am I supposed to do?
Genesis
2, 25.
I've got
to Okay, let's read that.
Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame.
Okay, so. Ladies, Eve, perfect. How did she present herself to Adam? What was she? Okay, so you don't undress and get dressed in the bathroom in the closet, right? You don't do that. What's your supposed to, husband supposed to do? You go in the bathroom and undress, and he gets pornography on the internet. Is that how you want to do it? You dress in the closet, and he finds an R-rated movie, and looks at Jennifer Lopez. Or Angelina Jolie topless. Is that what you want? Or you get undressed for him and you give him a little show while you get undressed.
He really can be
good. So, what do you want? What do you want? Now, this is, okay, next verse. Oh, yeah, Rob.
I have a question.
So, right after they sin, they're both ashamed. Did put clothes on. Mm-hmm. How does that relate to this?
What that relates to is that with the procreation of men, that because we're sinful, we can't just look and be happy with our own wife. We're going to look at other wives. So, in public, you need to have clothes on. But remember, is it all right to wear a bathing suit?
No. The church, no.
No, but is it all right to wear a bathing
suit?
Yeah. The church?
No.
Is it all right to wear a really sexy swimming suit? Yes, with your husband, but not around your grandkids. Right? You wear
right.
a different. You wear a different swimming suit around your grandkids or around your neighbors. But you can have a really sexy one when you go to South Hydra Island with your husband. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. What would determine what a sexy swimming suit is to your husband? Who determines that?
Husband.
That's right.
It's all in the reaction. If someone is kind of gets her attention a little more than me.
Well, I tell Eleanor it's not her responsibility to be the moral police for other men. That's their responsibility. I'm not worried about that. She can dress for me. As long as we're in our dressing appropriately sexy in the appropriate situation, I'm not worried about other men. And you know what I like? Well, when we go out kind of clubbing or when we go out dancing or when we go out like that, men look at her. I like that.
And we sometimes as women, we dress for other women.
That's right. That's right. But my wife is not a lesbian, so she doesn't do that.
But I've got to learn.
Yeah. I mean, it's a learning thing, yeah.
Genesis 24, 67.
Then Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent. He took her as his wife and loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
Okay, this is something you don't understand, ladies. Sexual intimacy can be a real ministry and comfort to a man. This is what y'all don't understand. Okay, you're watching a guy flick. You know what a guy flick is? Lots of people die, and there's lots of disaster in an impersonal manner. You know what chick flick is? One person dies over a long period of time, and you become intensely involved with them emotionally. So this is a guy flick.
You watch more of the chick flicks.
So there's a guy flick. You go to a guy flick, your husband picks it out, and they're shooting it up, and there are bombs everywhere. Then the tornado comes through. Then there's a hurricane, and then buildings are cracking. There's an earthquake. They're holding onto the rope, you know, the helicopter, they drop into the ocean, they're swept ashore, more, suddenly the Marines come, there are bombs everywhere, finally, it's all over, your clothes are torn, there's disaster everywhere, and James Bond grabs a woman and kisses passionately as the rain pours down in the mud. And what do the ladies think?
Well,
Oh, yeah. Bad chance. And what are the guys thinking? Yeah! They got it! That's right!
Perfect ending.
Perfect ending. So, you can really minister to your husband during difficult times in his life through sexual intimacy. You can comfort him. Everything else is going wrong, but at least this isn't.
Like fractured ribs?
Because we're the
outpieces. Right. You are. That's exactly right. Now, guys, here's my problem with this. I was in a counseling situation with a man, and, you know, and his wife just wouldn't dress for him. Sex was very functional. And finally, she took a deep breath. And they were in the mall, and there was Victoria's Secret. And she says, okay, sweetheart, let's go in here. You show me what you like, and I'll wear it for you. And you know what he did? He clammed up. Clammed up. So I told him, hey, I'm done with this. You know, I'm not going to go shopping with your wife and point things out to her. You've been whining and whining and whining. Your wife comes around. And now, for whatever reason, you're either punishing her or you're so used to being the victim, or for whatever reason, you wouldn't tell her. That's your problem. So don't do that to me, guys, at the end of this lecture.
No problem.
Don't go home. Don't go home and clam up on me. And if your wife says to you, guys, if your wife says to you, you know, do you really want me to flash you? I mean, it's so embarrassing. Don't say, oh, okay, it's all right. Don't have to. Don't say that and lie. Say, yeah, honey, this will be great. This, man, I've always wondered if wives did that for their husbands. Okay? So, guys, don't be stupid. All right. Genesis 26, verse 8.
When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac.
Okay, now, Isaac and Rebekah have taken a little stroll. And they found this little alcove in this beautiful courtyard. And it's a kind of an out-of-the-way place, and it's very quiet, and they're sitting with each other. Now, what are they doing? Are they reading the Torah? Are they praising? Are they reviewing each other on the Ten Commandments? What's happening?
He saw Isaac caressing his wife, Rebecca.
Ah, what was he doing?
Caressing.
Now, did Rebecca go, don't touch me, I'm a good Jewish girl. Who are you saving your body for, ladies? When you're coming home for a date and your husband wants to reach out and put his hand between your legs or caress your breast, or, you know, do you react like you're on a prom date? I mean, what are we, teenage girls? You know, you've been to the Just Say No talk, you know, at the youth meeting, and so you're not going to let him touch you? Is that how you respond? Is that how Rebecca responded? No.
That's because they had already talked.
You should be happy that your husband wants to be familiar with your body. Because if he doesn't, it means one of two things. He is in a downward masculine spiral. You have finally won the war. And he has been seriously, spiritually, and emotionally damaged. Or he's getting it somewhere else. Or do you like either of those two?
No.
Then don't do that. Well, I just can't do it. You can do it. All you have to do is love two people. Who is that? Jesus and who else?
Your husband.
That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. Did you learn how to drive? Then don't tell me you can't learn how to flash your husband or to dress seductively for him or to meet his sexual needs. Don't tell me you can't do that. Because you can do it. You just don't love him enough to do it.
Next week.
Okay. Esther.
I'm sorry.
Whether you like it or not.
What's the last one?
Esther.
Esther 2.
Esther chapter 2.
It's
you go to Psalms and go backwards a couple books, or you just type the word Esther into your search engine. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Esther chapter 2.
What verse?
Okay, I'm kind of letting everybody write. Okay, now please read verse 8.
When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susan and put under the care of Hege. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Hege, who had charge of the harem.
Okay, now Haggai is not a Christian guy. He's this pagan eunuch. And Esther has been chosen by the king to be his bride. Now, what's happening with Haggai? Eleanor, would you read verse 9?
Now the young lady pleased him and found favor with him. So he quickly provided her with her cosmetics and food, gave her 7 choice maids from the king's palace, and transferred her and her maids to the best place in the harem.
Now, Daniel was also living at this time. When they wanted to do all this stuff with Daniel, what did he do? What did he say? Yes or no? He said no. What is the difference between Daniel and the relationship with the king and Esther and the relationship with the king? Okay? Now, let's think about this. The king has chosen Esther to be his wife. And he's ordering all these things to be done for her. And she says yes. And that was righteous. Daniel, one of the princes of Israel, is also in this compound. And he is being offered all this stuff as well. And Daniel says no. And he is righteous. What is the difference between the relationship between Daniel and the king and Esther and the king? What's the difference?
Why is it the same way?
I'm asking the ladies.
I'm assuming it's the nature of the relationship.
Well, that's right. But what? Yes. But what is Esther's relationship to the king?
Wife.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's now, Rob. Read 1 Peter 3:1.
Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wife.
Yeah, you're pleasing your husband is a spiritual... 1 Peter 3:1. You're pleasing your husband is a spiritual ministry to him. But not only that, sex is spiritual. I was in India and a pastor said, you know, when we're having sex... You know, should I like be praising Jesus or have Christian music on and stuff? I said, no, it's already spiritual. That's like saying, how do you make reading the Bible spiritual? It's already spiritual. How do you make prayer spiritual? It's already spiritual. How do you make witnessing spiritual? It's already spiritual. How do you make sexually ministering to your husband by making your marriage sexually exciting spiritual? It's already spiritual. Well, you've got the verses. So, she did that. She did that. And who was she learning from? Verse 15, Joanna.
When the turn came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted the daughter's uncle Abihail. To go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Hege, the king's Enoch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw.
Now, when Esther wanted to know how to please her husband, did she ask her mother? Did she ask the other girls? Who does she want to please? A woman or a man? So you got to know how men think, don't you? I wish I had brought these magazines. I have for this talk when I'm doing a seminar, I have a magazine. And I have a ladies' magazine, and how do you get ladies to buy things? And then I show them the pictures. And it's always women and children and their husbands and they're talking. You've seen the advertisement like in Ladies' Home Journal, haven't you? How do you get men to buy things? If you have a guns and ammo magazine or a motorcycle magazine, very sexy dressed women, isn't there?
Yeah.
I go in to AutoZone to buy shock absorbers for my car. Now, I've changed shocks. I wasn't going to change it this time. I just wanted to make sure the mechanic used quality shocks. But have you ever, you guys ever been under a car, you know, where you're greasing and lubing and changing the oil and changing shocks out? It is filthy, filthy work. I don't care if it's an old Ford or a new Mercedes. It's filthy work. It's you get really dirty changing shocks. So I go in there, and there's a cutout about 5'8" of a woman. Big cardboard cutout. She's in red high heels, a tight red plunge, kind of Miss America, tight-fitting swimsuit, pearls, earrings, red lipstick, and her hair is really done nice, and she's holding a set of shocks. And there's a caption down there, you know, the buy section is like shocks. Now, what do high heels and pearls have to do with a swimsuit? Nothing. What the shock absorbers have to do with high heels and pearls or with a swimsuit? Nothing. None of that makes sense. But every man who walked in there saw it and looked at it. And about half of them think, I wonder if there are really women who dress like that. How do you sell perfume in an airport to men? You have really skimpy, erotic models, many times with the man, many times not. A lot of times their mouth is open, they're kind of yearning. And men think, man, I've been away from my wife for about 3 days. Maybe if I buy her this perfume, it will suddenly click to her that this is what I really want. So, that's what Esther did. And you can learn. You can ask your husband. You can look at magazines. I'm not talking about pornographic magazine. But you can just have your eyes open. And
you're saying that Esther really studied what
men like.
And she didn't study it from
a woman's perspective.
She said it from an expert.
Yeah. Yeah. And made her husband extremely happy. So the question always comes back, ladies, do you want your husband to be happy? Do you want your husband to like things that you think he should like, or do you want him to be happy? Because it's two different things. And some men are so tired of their wives crying that they now go through life just pretending that they like things. And you know, I can't understand it, but there's a certain kind of a wife who's happy with that. She would rather her husband pretend he's happy and her not have to change than for her husband to be happy. But I can tell you something, ladies. If your husband is under 50 and he's not having sexual intimacy 3 times a week and he's not having honeymoon sex 1 time a week, then he's not only dissatisfied, he's in pain, physical pain.
What about if he just turned 50?
Yeah, I'm just talking about 50.
Men, we have the more.
Can we put a range of 48 to 50?
Now, we're going to close with this, ladies. We're going to close with this. I'm going to use one more illustration to try to convince you that there is no way you can understand your husband's sexuality. You just have to minister to him. And this is it. Ladies, can you be brought to full orgasm by looking at a picture of a naked man you do not know? Can you? You can't, can you? You can't even conceive of that, but men can. And they generally start doing it when they're teenagers. They can. Okay, let me ask you another question, lady. Can you be sexually stimulated and almost brought to orgasm when you don't want to? Can you? It happens to men all the time. In fact, it's a great issue of self-control for men. It's very different, isn't it? In fact, you know, one of the fantasies of semi-pornographic deals are you know, the women motorcycle gang, you know, kidnaps the guy, and then they take him out and make him a sex slave, and all the guys are going, oh, man, what a
horrible fate.
But it would be a horrible fate for women, wouldn't it? The most awful thing that can happen to a woman, and it used to be the death penalty, was to be forced to have sex when you don't want to. It's called rape. It's a horrible thing, but not to men. See how different you are? Very different. Ladies, can you, in just a matter of a few minutes, bring yourself physically, just using your hand, to total satisfactory orgasmic climax? Can you do that? Can you do that? No. But men can. They do it all the time. See how different your husband is from you? He is very, very sexually different from you. And you are never going to empathize with him because you are a woman and a Christian woman and not a lesbian, and you're not attracted to women, and you're not attracted to women's breasts, and you're not attracted to negligees. So how would you know? So you ask him, and you look around at the world and how it markets to men, and then you learn from it. And you can. And it's scriptural. So, here's your project. See one of your projects? Sorry. So one of your projects is to go through this quiet time sheet, isn't it, ladies? So, okay, let's see. Joanna?
Yes.
What's the first quiet time that you will look at?
Number one.
Uh-huh, and what verse is that?
The wife takes the initiative and is sexually aggressive.
Okay. No. No, quiet time.
Quiet time, this.
I like that other sheet this year.
Joanna, what's the first one? What's it say?
Song of Solomon 4:16.
Uh-huh, and 5:1.
5:1.
What's the first question?
How does this passage relate to the theme?
What's the theme?
Sexually excited.
What does it say right there? What's the theme?
Ensuring the marriage is sexually excited.
So, when you read that, you don't write, wow, one of the things I got from this verse is how God has blessed me with a godly husband. Now, that can be true, isn't it? But does it relate? Does that phrase relate to the theme? No. And then what is the next question?
When I reflect on this passage, does it primarily convict me, encourage me, or challenge?
Okay. Uh-huh. And then the next thing.
How will I apply this passage to my life in the coming weeks?
That's right. How will you do it? How will you do it? Action steps, right? And then you share this with your husband. You read the passage together. Guys, let her do it. And then y'all talk about it. Because she'll want to be asking you questions, won't you? You'll want to be. You might decide from Song of Solomon 4:16, 5:1, wow, you know, what kind of lipstick and perfume, what really turns you on? Well, let's see, how can I figure that out? And you'll turn to your husband and ask him. And then when he tells you, what will you do?
Go and get it.
Yes, that's exactly right. Now, we have another project here, and that was your other sheet.
Honey, we're going to be spending some money.
Now, lady, this is from Song of Solomon. That book we were just in, God, and what does it say? Making your marriage sexually exciting. God the Holy Spirit's instructions to wives. Okay? So it's spiritual, isn't it? And then we're going to look at these things. Now, see where it says she? What are you going to write there according to the instructions? Read the book of Song of Solomon through 7 times. Each time, key on the topic. Okay? The wife takes the initiative and is sexually aggressive. That's the topic. Write your observations. As you write observations on the bride, that's she. Mm-hmm. Make specific applications to you, that's me. Does that make sense? Now, some of the verses may be the same application. So you just move on to the next verse. Is that pretty clear? So you have your quiet times together with your husband, but you do this independently from him on your own. Great, huh? Okay, ladies, you'll stay here. Gentlemen, if you'll come with me.